We forego our theme music.
For an important reason.
Prince, dead at the age of 57, found unresponsive, as Judy just told you, in an elevator at his recording studio in Minneapolis, Paisley Park. And it is shocking a nation, actually.
It really is. Remember there was that report from TMZ, and we talked about it in the air last week, when he had to make the emergency landing in Moline, Illinois, rushed to the hospital. And then it felt like, okay, well, that was sort of, you know, quashed. Any kind of talk of him being really sick was like, no, fine, resting comfortably, he's at home, everything's cool. Then he made that appearance over the weekend in Minneapolis to say, hey, look, I'm okay. Yep. And, you know, wait a few days before you waste any prayers was his message to the crowd that night. And then, wow.
Howard Kramer is the former curatorial director of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. And Mr. Kramer, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me. Sorry it has to be under these circumstances.
Right.
Seriously.
I mean, you know, and we've lost a lot of rock and roll legends this year. I mean, David Bowie, among the greats, Prince, obviously now, this is one of the great losses of the decade when you think about it musically.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's one of the great losses in American music. I mean, this is like when Ellington passed away or Louis Armstrong. I mean, I don't feel by any means I'm overstating that. Here's a guy who was as prolific and as an inspired genius as any one of those guys.
I don't think you're wrong about that at all.
No.
I don't think that's not even really debatable, because when you stop and you think about Prince's entrance, you know, into the public conscience in, was that 1979? I think it was his first album.
Yes.
Then all the way through, he continued to be, I think you're talking about, you know, in terms of being prolific, very few other artists of his or any other generation have produced more music, especially in that non-Warner Brothers era.
Yeah, where he would put out those like triple CD sets. I kind of shudder to think at someone who had to actually put together a discography of that guy. There's a lot of stuff out there. And even, you know, someone like me who followed him very closely for a number of years, I couldn't keep up with the guy. You know, it's just like, how do you process all this music? He is one of those guys. He's on the short list of people who had an amazing run of genius, of like album after album after album that there wasn't a bum track on. Like, you know, Paul Simon and Stevie Wonder and the Beatles and the Stones all had that kind of, you know, that track of prolific brilliance.
Right.
And he not really sustained it. He didn't care if you came along with a ride or not. You know,
right.
He's like, I'm just okay. You like that record? Great. I don't care about that one anymore. Here's my next one.
Right. Yeah. He moved
on. Forward-thinking artist like Miles Davis was. You know, Miles certainly was one of his heroes, and I understand they at one point jammed together. You know, it's all about what I'm doing right now. And, you know, those of us who got a chance to like really experience it, I mean, I don't know if you guys ever saw him live. I was fortunate to see him live a bunch of times. You know, Chicago is obviously a regular stop for him.
Yeah.
You felt when you were on stage that this moment was the greatest moment ever. And we were lucky to be there, because he was always giving you 1,000%. And you knew that he could even give you more if he wanted to, because he was that good.
Well, that was the thing. It was like he stayed relevant. And I did have a chance to see him at the Super Bowl. I know you were there too, wrote in Miami when it was raining like crazy. But then I also saw him in a really small, intimate venue. He came to play at Melody Hobson and George Lucas's wedding here in Chicago. And afterwards, after playing all night there, at 2 a.m, he popped up at City Winery in the West Loop and played this very intimate setting. And he gave it his all at 2 a.m. He was loving being there. We were loving seeing him, of course. But it's amazing to see the generations in the crowd, how he crossed generations. He crossed people of different musical likes. If you liked R&B or rock or country, it didn't matter. People were fans of Prince. It crossed, you know, ethnic lines. I mean, he really was able to do that as an artist.
Yeah, it's a rare. He's a rarely, look, the word genius is thrown around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He was, and I hate using the past tense. It really is upsetting. He was truly a genius on every level. Not merely as a songwriter, but as a musician. I mean, I remember the night he was inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I was there, and, you know, There's a lot of other great artists inducted. Traffic was inducted that night, and George Harrison was inducted that night. In a room full of really talented people, Prince was the most talented person.
Right.
Light years. When they did, for any of you who are listening, go to YouTube and look up Prince, While My Guitar Gently Weeps, and watch this performance he did with Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne.
Right. And, well, as a guitarist.
I defy you to say you've ever seen anything as powerful as that.
Badass, I think, is the term that you're looking for, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's
okay, good.
He
go
was
ahead.
as big a guitar badass as you can imagine. In that pantheon of people that are the great guitarists of all times, right? And I'm not talking about the guys who are doing six strings at a time. I'm talking about the guys who could just make that thing do almost anything. Prince is right up in there in the top five, maybe, of all times.
He stands in nobody's shadow. There's no question. He is just a singular talent. He is a singular talent, and it's a tragic and horrible loss. Losing Bowie and Prince within a few months is almost incomprehensible.
And both working. I mean, that's the other important thing here too. Is that Bowie? And again, there's a lot of parallels between those two in terms of how they were bending the image of rock and taking you into a world that was uniquely their own.
They're both mysteries in a lot
right,
of ways too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, two guys who actually influenced each other in a lot of ways. I mean, Bowie was a huge Prince fan, and clearly Prince was a Bowie admirer.
Right. So it's fascinating that we've lost them both. But Bowie released an album. That Prince was still working on stuff. I mean, he was that's what he did. 34 officially released albums, not including bootlegs and other stuff that he released. 34. I mean, you're talking about the only other people who do that. Were classical artists, right? And symphonies would release those
pretty
kinds
much.
Of albums. Yeah.
Henry Mancini and John Williams doing soundtracks, that sort of thing. It's odd. I don't know what the number is for Dylan for original releases, but it's way up there. But then again, Dylan had a 20-year head start on the kid.
Yeah.
15-year head start.
Howard, thank you so much. Appreciate it. I know you got a very busy day today ahead of you.
Thank you guys very much.
Thanks,
and a sad
Howard.
Day. Howard Kramer, former curator of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We're talking about the death of Prince, found in his studio a couple of hours ago by Minneapolis emergency personnel, unresponsive in the elevator of his studio, and dead at the age of 57.